Welcome, everyone, to Healing with the Masters. And for the next 2 minutes, I'm going to be sharing just a little prayer of preparation. This has been encoded to support you in getting ready for each show. You know, this year of 2015 is a very special year. It's been hailed as the year the heart opens and abundance can flow. And this is a very special season which is within this 2015 year. We just finished Epigenetic Week. We've got a Joe Dunning Week coming up in a couple of weeks, in addition to all our amazing rosters of speakers, including Sonia Choquette, who is joining us tonight. And the show is live and interactive. It's so live that you can actually work with almost all of our speakers directly. Sonia's going to be doing some session work and readings tonight, so go ahead, press star 2 right now. Star 2 will raise your hand. And if you're on the webcast, go ahead and dial in and press star 2. We're not taking a lot of questions on the form there. We're going to be doing it because we look for a more interactive experience. Now, we know that the master speakers in this series are not the only masters in this community. You, too, are a master. All the answers you could ever need are within you. The master speakers on this series, they're simply delivering nudges and hints as to who you truly are, the master that is you. Now, we also believe that you've been called to this community to not only participate and receive deep transformation for profound personal advancement, but you've been called here so we may join together and create a difference on this planet. In fact, we believe this is a co-creative process. Your participation in the open line parts of these shows, star 2 or raise your hand, plus the general desires and needs you bring, energetically nudges both the speakers and I to bring forth the healing that you and all are seeking. And just a quick reminder, just like PBS, you can own the shows that you're listening to. And with our special week-long shows, you probably will want to own those. So you don't ever have to risk missing another show again by doing that. And we hear all the time how when people listen to a show the first time, they change, they heal. And then when they listen to it a second time, they're actually a new person because they're at a different vibration and they hear almost a brand new show. That's possible for you as well. Just go to healingwiththemasters.com/purchase. That's the one. healingwiththemasters.com/purchase to own the show. Now, tonight, I'm really delighted to welcome a very, very special guest. I got to hear Sonia speak at the Transformational Leadership Council in Hawaii about her new book, and she's going to be talking a little bit about it tonight. And it was astonishingly great. I'm so excited to welcome her here. Now, Sonia, as you know, is a world-renowned intuitive guide. She's a powerful spiritual teacher. She's the author of 19 international best-selling books, including the New York Times bestseller, The Answer is Simple. She's also has numerous audio programs and card decks. She was educated at the University of Denver and the Sorbonne in Paris. And I believe you're living there now, aren't you? Oops.
Oh. I love it.
And she has a PhD in metaphysics from the American Institute of Holistic Theology. Oh, it's Dr. Sonia Choquette.
Well, I'm much too intimate for that, but
got it.
It's okay.
So welcome, Sonia Choquette, to Healing with the Masters. It's wonderful to have you back again and talking about your amazing adventures over the last year or two.
Thank you, Jennifer, and I'm so delighted to be with everyone on the call. I'm excited and grateful and just feel the frequency and the energy of everyone involved, and it really is quite uplifting to me.
Oh, good. Yeah, we're having a good time this season, and I think that you're coming along at exactly the right moment to add another little bump in our frequency, so thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So, Sonia, you know, you've had this amazingly brave journey. Not only brave as in where you went and what you did, but brave in that you are willing to share exactly what happened to you. You had quite a series of crises and tragedies several years back, and yet you're this world-renowned spiritual teacher that you've taught all over the world for 20 years, telling people how to, you know, live a life of spirituality. And then when push came to shove, you know, you had the universe shoved you hard in many ways. And you had a bit of a crisis of the soul. So share a little bit about what happened there and what you experienced and what you learned from it.
Well, I'd like to just begin by saying that I've been teaching pretty much ever since I was a kid. My first workshop in working with intuition was when I was 15. And I'm from a large family, one of seven. I'm the middle child. And a few years ago, my older brother, 1 year older than I, who was my rock and roll brother, my drummer brother, the one who didn't follow any rules, who lived on the edge and pushed himself way too far, and I were having a conversation. It was going to be his birthday the next day, and he said to me, you know, what I'd like for my birthday is for you to buy the Rolling Stones Shine a Light DVD for me. And I was like, okay, I will do that. And we hung up, and I ordered the DVD and thought, that is just so my brother. And then 7 in the morning the next morning, I got a call from my older sister, and she was just devastated and in shock and told me that my brother, who I had just spoken with the night before, died in his sleep. And it was so unbelievable because there was no sickness, there was no warning, there was no, you know, expecting this. And then the shock of that caused my father so much stress, and this is a man who I've never known to be sick a day in his life. 6 weeks later, the stress of burying my brother and dealing with all that came with that and all the emotional drama that came with that, He died one morning. We don't even know why. He woke up, said, I don't feel good, and the next thing I know, he was dead.
Holy cow.
And it was like a double train wreck.
Yeah.
Well, trying to adjust with that just so threw me. And I had so many complicated experiences with my father and my brother. But I always felt that I was willing to love them, accept them, support them, and, you know, enjoy them the best I could. But when this happened, I was just devastated and shocked. And my husband, whom I've always had a very pretty difficult relationship, it was a tug-and-pull marriage. I was always trying to pull him to a higher vibration, and he was always fighting me and not, because it wasn't something that was motivated from within. So, but he did know me to be the champion, the cheerleader, the problem solver, the fearless one. And when I crashed, he had no context to meet me at that place. And his response was that he left me. So within 6 weeks, my brother died, my father died, and my 30-year marriage ended.
Holy jumping.
And I was so stunned and so wounded. But the other interesting thing was nothing I taught, nothing that I used, no tool in my past, no insight that I had brought me any relief. I was heartbroken and devastated, and I could not find any sort of way that any of my spiritual tools would help me. And because of that, I felt deeply, deeply ashamed and felt that I could not stand in front of any human being ever again as a guide or a leader, given that I felt like I was Humpty Dumpty. I was shattered. And so I quit working. And I went into a retreat mode and just tried so hard to find my way out of it. I tried boxing, kickboxing, because I had so many conflicting emotions, and I broke my knee. So then I ended up in a wheelchair. I mean, the sad story gets worse. Finally, I reached a point where all I could do was get on my knees and pray. And I got the most interesting response, which I knew it was guidance. I knew my prayer had been heard, because what I received was so unlike anything my ego mind would have ever come up with. I was told to go on a pilgrimage. I was to walk the Camino de Santiago, which is an ancient spiritual pilgrimage across Spain. And before that, it was a Catholic pyramid or a pilgrimage to ask for forgiveness. But before that, it was an ancient Celtic pilgrimage. So it had been traveled thousands and thousands of years over two mountain ranges, and was a pilgrimage that was 840 kilometers long, which is over 520 miles. And I was to go alone and in silence. And I was so surprised because, first of all, my knee, how could I was barely off of my, out of my wheelchair and back off of crutches and walking again. The furthest I'd ever walked was probably hiked was to the grocery store and back. I mean, this was hardly my thing. And I didn't even know that much about the Camino. I'd heard of it and it had registered, but it wasn't foremost on my mind. And yet I felt and knew that this was something I had to say yes to. And so I packed up. I very ridiculously got as ready as I could, which was not very ready at all, and I took off. And I started the most transformational experience of my life.
Wow. You know, and I want to hear about that, because as I watch you and witnessed you speaking, and as I hear you speaking now, first of all, I just want to just acknowledge the fact that you are this very well-known international spiritual teacher who, and what you taught for years and years and years didn't actually work for you when you needed it. And yet you're standing here. And to me, it's just you are once again modeling for all of us. That life is compressing many of us, and it's time we refine some of them and maybe even come up with new ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you did. So please share with us, you know, what happened, and what came from that amazing journey you went on.
Well, you know, I living an intuitive life, I'm not a thinker. And I'm not much of a preparer.
You live in the moment.
I do live in the moment. And so I just said okay and put it off to the very last minute to get ready. And then one day, just I was maybe a week or so, I made the plans and said yes, but hadn't done anything until the last minute, and then I realized I better get myself to REI and get my equipment. And I remember it was such a poignant experience, because I had my little list that I had gotten off the internet of what you might need. And I went, and this salesman probably saw me coming 100 miles away, but here I walked in with my list, and I said, I'm leaving on a 500-mile hike in a week, and here's my list. And he said, well, we have to get your boots. You haven't gotten your boots yet? And I was like, no, I'll be fine. Just pick a pair. And I remember him just really working with me to try to get these boots fit. And I was uncomfortable with the attention he was giving me and the insistence that he help me get these boots fit. And I just realized, as I'm racing through this experience, and they put them on, and I said, no, they're fine. And he said, oh, no, we got to get these, you know, we have to do some things and walk up a hill and, you know, up a little incline they had in the store and down and this and that. And I just wanted to make it fine. And I realized that it was because someone was really giving me attention, supporting me, and nurturing me in an area that I felt so fragile and so vulnerable and so uncomfortable being the receiver of support that I kind of rushed through it. But I was conscious of that. I watched myself.
That is cool. And that's, I think, a theme that I want to just point out, that you had conscious, you were almost like the observer of your life going through this in many ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So I get the boots. Finally, I convince him that the boots I have are good enough. And he realizes he's struggling with me. He said, so keep them on and walk around the store while we get the rest of your list. And with this list in hand, we started walking around. He said, do you need these, you know, shirts, these wool shirts? And I said, yes, give me two. No, give me three. And how about poles? I need poles. How about a water bottle or a water pack? I said, give me the bottle and the pack. And how about a poncho? Absolutely. And I need a hat, and I need a little scarf around my neck, and I need socks, and I need more socks, and I need a backpack, and I just kept and I want power bars. And then I remember at one point he said, well, do you need, he said, how about this? It's a, you know, it's a pee cup. Do you need a pee cup? And I said, what's a pee cup? And he goes, well, you put it over your privates as a woman, and it kind of transforms your privates into something that looks like a man's, and you can pee anywhere. And it was like, oh, I absolutely need a pee cup. And I was very conscious as I was grabbing all of this that I was trying to buffer myself with all this stuff from both my inevitable discomfort in going into something so unknown and so out of my realm of familiarity, but also my inner discomfort. My pain and my emotional wounding. I was trying to buffer it all and give me the sleeping bag and then the mat and then the this. And by the time I left, I had these huge bags of stuff I was carrying to the car, shoving them into the back of my little Volkswagen, very conscious of the fact that I'm going to have to carry all this. On my back.
Oh my gosh.
What was I
thinking? For 500 miles.
For 500 miles, and I've never even carried anything on my back. So I go home and I proceed to shove all of this into my backpack, and I'm not kidding you, it turns out that it's almost as big and heavy as a small loaded refrigerator. And so, okay, I'm still going to do this. So I slap the thing on my back, and I start walking down the stairs. I did this all on the second floor of my house, and I'm going down the stairs, and I thought, okay, I've got this. You know, I hold it onto the rail, and I have a pole in my hand, and then I'm going to turn around and now go up the stairs. And I took one step. One, and my knee went out, and I went face forward and slammed my face into the stair, and I thought, this is not going to work. And I was panicked. I was so overwhelmed. And so I get on the internet, and I start seeing that actually there are companies that you can engage who will transport your bag. So I debate this, and then I finally thought, well, it's either that or I don't go at all. But I felt so bad. So I go back to REI, and I get a very small backpack. And I'm going to put, so I negotiated with myself, so I would be authentic, that I would carry two backpacks I would take with me. And one would be the transported backpack, which I then named Cheater. And the other would be the one on my back with a manageable amount of stuff, and I named that backpack Pilgrim. And off we went, and I landed in the Pyrenees. I was in Biarritz, and then I took a a bus to where we begin in Saint-Jean-Pied-de-Port, which is right at the foot of the Pyrenees, and it's snowing and raining, and this is late May. This is not late March. This is late May, when it's supposed to be summer. And I started off on the journey of my life, and it's the equivalent of about a marathon a day of distance. And the first day is the worst day. You have to go straight up over the Pyrenees for 8 hours. And sure enough, as I was walking, there was so much snow and mud, and kept sliding around, that I got what's called boot bang. The front of my toes kept nailing the front of my boot, which was not broken in and as hard as a rock. Right. And I proceeded on day one to absolutely devastate all 10 of my toes.
Oh, my God.
Trashed my feet, trashed my ankle, trashed myself. And it was only my first day. I was just sobbing with this agony and this pain and this frustration. And yet, I have to tell you, walking, it was more the inner journey that was even more painful. Mm. Because as I walked, I started to jog free.
Mm.
My emotional life, the lives of my human journey, the journey that I had spent my whole life using my intuition to try to rise above and get around and maneuver through, and thought that I had succeeded, but there was a whole bunch of it that was extraordinarily painful. Beginning with my father, who managed our family with an iron hand. And for some reason, with me especially, I just triggered him somehow. But my father was a man who was very violent with me. And the way he managed me was a lot of physical beatings. And here's the interesting thing. On a soul level, I understood that he just was overwhelmed with too many kids and too much to do. And I was sort of the kid in the room that said, "The emperor's new clothes, and I see what you're doing." And I understood, and I thought I had forgiven him. I accepted on a higher level, but on an emotional level, the part of me that was beaten and hurt and wounded. And then as I got older, he banished any of my work because he didn't want to create any stress for my mother, and he assumed that she would be uncomfortable with my success because she was the spiritual one. So he had all this craziness that I understood. But emotionally, all that woundedness and pain in me, all of that, I just shoved it into my bones. It was like shoving it into the basement.
This is incredible, Sonia. I mean, it's so interesting because, you know, my sister passed away in 2013, and then my father passed away last April, and April of 2000, like 9 months later. And it's so interesting what you're sharing here, and we've got a ton of people that are sharing that they're having a similar journey. They're having this journey of, you know, I did all this spiritual stuff, and I was feeling pretty good, and then whammo. You know, I'm a survivor of sexual abuse at the hand of my father, and I forgave him when I was in my 40s, like totally forgave him, got to see, you know, that everyone has a path and that, you know, we're abusers of abusers likely, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
right.
I got to see all that. I forgave it. And yet when my sister died, I didn't forgive him for what he did to her.
Wow.
And I've been in this really rage for, you know, it's coming up on the year anniversary of his passing. And it's so cool what you just shared, the emotional piece, that at an emotional level, I have not gotten over it, that I got over a lot of the other pieces, but this piece is ready to go, and it's in my body.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God,
and
this is so brilliant.
I didn't know that myself. I'm walking, and I am so enraged. And my brother, his rock and roll life included drug addiction. And he caused so much chaos. That as a spiritual person, I had compassion, I understood. But when he died, he just skated out the back door.
Right.
I was furious. And not proud of it.
Yeah.
But it was what was true.
Yeah.
I had all this fury and rage, years of it. Years and years shoved away because my spiritual tools gave me distance. And let me manage it from a place that was equally important.
Right.
Understand
right.
to find an understanding and to find for them. But when I started walking, I thought, what about me?
Yeah.
What about me? And it was stunning because I would walk and be so angry. And I would shout at my dad and shout at God and shout at my brother. And I was so wounded and shout at my husband. And I would hardly be able to move. But somewhere around midday, which is maybe 5 hours into walking at my pace with my broken toes, it got quiet. And a deeper part of me started to be calmed down. And pieces of emotion that I had carried so deeply and had distanced from because I wanted to be spiritual. I wanted to understand. I wanted to see the bigger picture. Those parts didn't see me. And my emotions and my fear and my pain and my hurt finally started getting witnessed as I moved these emotions up out of my basement, disowned self, and walked with them and listened and could hold the space for my own human experience without judgment. And it was this way every day for 35 days.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
So healing.
But it wasn't torture, was it? I mean,
no.
At all.
It
so
was
share that.
Healing.
Healing.
The torture was the denial.
Oh, my gosh, Sonia. Oh, I'm going to cry. The torture was the denial.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That was the torture.
Torture was the denial.
It was so painful.
Oh,
all that denial.
Boy. Boy.
All that denial in the name of wanting to be spiritual and really wanting to be spiritual.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be wounded. I didn't want to be hurt. I didn't want to be judgmental. I didn't want to be.
Yeah, but as you said, it was what was true.
Right.
Whatever you were feeling in that moment was what was true.
True. And as it came up and I could walk with my own human experience, and listen to those years of my human, my inner child, my adolescent, even my adult female that was not witnessed and supported and that I ignored. Not, it's bad enough that it was there, but I continued. And as I started having space for that part of me, and a part of my journey, and find some real compassion for me, without judgment, without spiritualizing it away.
Yes.
Feeling it.
Yes. Feeling it.
Feeling it, and really being with myself at that level, not as a victim, but as a witness. A real transformation, day by day, began to happen. A real profound compassion and opening in my heart that was not there before. It was like I was living on a false bottom. I had a sealed off.
That's such a great analogy. I feel so the same. We've got literally tons of people sharing that they're having a very similar experience. Living on a false bottom. And yet there was not. It was what it was until it wasn't. Right?
And it needed to be that.
It needed to be that. We needed
and it wasn't
to have a
inauthentic,
false bottom.
It was right. Just incomplete.
Ah, God, you're so brilliant. It wasn't inauthentic. It was just incomplete. And I think that we are in a time of completing it. We're not in a time of being a victim. We're not in a time of being lost or stuck. We're just in a time of being incomplete. And we're becoming consciously aware of that incompletion.
Yes, and it is an important part. That it wasn't like I was being phony intuitive. I was very intuitive. I wasn't being phony spiritual. I deeply was committed. But I was disconnected from a part of me that had never been allowed. My angry self, my wounded self, my reactive self, all the selves of me that are my human self. Needed to be not banished, not repackaged, not talked to and trained, but just to be witnessed. My emotional self is as holy as the rest of me.
Amen.
And that was Amen. The discovery, but it took moving, being with all these pieces and all these moments. And you know what's interesting? And I'm sure you can relate to this in your own experience. Things came up that I had forgotten, that I had no recollection. Like for when I was a teenager, I was almost raped at gunpoint. And by the grace of God and my angels, I escaped. But the way I dealt with it, because of the family I had and the unsafety, I shoved it and told no one. And blame myself for being so stupid. I was to go read for this guy.
Gosh.
And it came up. And the pieces of me that were just like, you know, WTF. Who's got my back?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I do think that a lot of us who have followed the spiritual path, we did so because we had to find some way to have our back, have our own back.
Yep.
But this piece is the completion piece. I am convinced because what I ended up with at the end of the day is that I ended up with the deepest, most profound compassion for myself that then opened my heart to a level of depth, compassion, and understanding for every player in the cast, but every human being that I did not know was possible and could never have gotten to. Had I not gone through this and been with and been in completion of my own human experience and seeing it as holy.
Oh, wow, Sonia. Holy cow. And you know, it's amazing. This is the second time I've heard you talk about it, and I'm even more moved this time. And it feels like, I mean, all the spiritual training and the, you know, there's no question in my mind that you are a healer, that your words heal, that your intuitive abilities heal. And, and I'm feeling that right now, that there's a healing, I'm getting emotional again, there's a healing happening across our community right now where we're starting to, it's like there's a code that you've given us, a little key that's unlocking us, that giving us permission to explore these deeper realms, explore these emotions that previously were probably not safe to explore.
Right. Not safe. There was no support. There was no ability to. There was not even any honoring.
Yes.
These were considered dishonorable feelings.
Right, right. Yeah, we're spiritual. We're not
right.
supposed to be feeling this stuff.
And exactly. And that was a big part of my shame.
Right.
I was ashamed that I was didn't have the answer. I was ashamed. Then I thought, what am I thinking that I am immune from the human journey, which is painful and sloppy, and human beings, we hurt each other.
Yeah.
We're hurt, and how are we going to really heal if we don't say, ouch? Yeah, without somebody saying, oh, you're a victim. It's like, no, I'm just in pain.
Yeah.
Ouch. And, man, the ouch in my feet was mirroring the years and years. I had to tell you, you know, as I began to witness my own experiences with dignity, not judgment, to listen, to be present, it was a miracle because there was no reason my feet should have made that journey.
Well, on first day, you trashed everything. I mean, and you had 500 miles, you had 30 days left.
My toes got so blackened and infected. I tried to do surgery on them, and then they got infected. It was just, and I have, do remind me to tell you about the pea cone. The pea cone. Day three, I'm crawling, it's snowing, I need to pee, I don't want to pee, so I decide to squat under my poncho, and I was like, I got the pea cone. So I whip the pea cone out, and I'm looking around, and no one's coming, and just had to pee for the longest time, peed and peed and peed and peed, and it was snowing, and I was just like, thank God. And I thought, God, this is really relaxing me. I'm just warming up here. It's just so great. And then I stood up and I realized the damn pea cone was turned the wrong way.
Oh, no.
And I had just peed all over myself.
Oh, no.
And was soaked. And had to now walk another 4 hours reeking and stinking and peed on. It was like, of course. Of course. Am I pissed off or did I just piss on my... It was like that almost
every day. Every day there was something.
Something. But it was miraculous. It was miraculous. Pretty soon I walked out of time and space. And when you're with yourself, you got to move that energy. It's in your bones. It's in your muscles. I saw this movie when I was a teenager called Don't Look in the Basement. This horror film where all these people who were insane and crazy were put in the basement of this house. And then one day they all came crawling back up. And I thought, that's what's happening. All my, what was deemed my emotional crazy was shoved.
Right.
Now it's coming back
it
up.
It was our own personal horror story that we did.
Exactly.
That we needed to do, though. We had
and
to
we
do it.
Needed to. That's my right. point. It yes. wasn't that how we managed was not correct. It was heroic. But now we need to go back and heal the wounded heroes that we are.
So what's next, Sonia, for you know, for those of us who are in this place now? I mean, you know, there's lots of people saying, I wish I could go to the El Camino, but I can't.
You don't have to.
So
that's the thing.
What's the path?
What all you want to do is to know that the benefit, that the pilgrimage that I did was one way, but the essence of a pilgrimage is to create the space to be with yourself and honor your journey. Feel your feelings. Go for a walk. If you can't walk, just be in a place where maybe you're unintruded upon and you can journey in your mind. Step by step, letting these disowned parts of you, because they were not safe or there was no one there to witness, come back and walk with you. Mm. Listen to them. Honor them. Take us a moment every day just to be with those parts you don't want to feel. And see that those parts that you don't want to feel, were you don't want to feel them because you're afraid they'll swallow you up.
Yeah.
But they won't. It feels like that. It felt like it to me. But they won't if you just listen, walk, go for a walk in nature, and just walk with the parts of you that were hurt.
Yeah.
The parts of you that were treated in such ways and were not honored, and your vulnerabilities were cast aside, and you were shamed out of them. Walk with those parts of you. and leave the part that says, I understand everybody. Yeah, we all do, but I'd still hurt.
Yeah.
I forget, you know, I get it. Everybody's just, but that intellectualizing or spiritualizing is healthy and important piece of healing, but there's a piece that just says, I hold you, dear, and I'm sorry you're hurting.
Oh, I hold you, dear, and I'm sorry you're hurting.
Yeah.
Walking with ourselves, I hold you, dear, and I'm sorry that you're hurting.
And it's not dishonorable. You don't fall from grace. You don't lose anything to cry.
Yeah.
It opens the heart. Instead of, it emboldens it, it opens it. And I do feel that this is my work now, to help people and hold the space and the guidance to say, there's no real true way to release, to forgive, to let go at the deepest level until you go here and honor who you are and what you experienced without judgment.
Yeah. Oh, wow, Sonia. And so, you know, where does forgiveness come in all this?
Well, you know, spiritual level, if you will, I thought I had forgiven. I didn't think I took offense.
I did too.
Honestly. I was that nobly willing to take the, you know, go to the highest frequency. But what I realized is that the level of forgiveness I had reached earlier was not coming from my deepest, most genuine because it was denying me my experience.
Ah, right.
It was holding love and grace for others, saying, you know, I'm good. I'm good. I understand that, you know, you weren't so good and I forgive you. I'm good. But the truth is, not so much. I'm resilient.
That's a distinction.
That is a distinction. I'm strong, I'm loving, but maybe I'm not so good. Until I sit and be with me, how will I know? And maybe I just need to find, so before we start moving into I forgive everybody, which of course we all want to, especially anybody on this call, of course we do. But can we just turn that lens around and say, you know, maybe for a moment, they are good. And just put pause on that for a minute without being a victim, but just having a genuine compassion that says, and how are you? With real love. So it starts there to see and recognize. And honestly, I have a peeve with the spiritual community and the tendency that it can judge. I was judged very harshly when my dad and brother and my husband died and my husband left. I was actually judged very harshly by peers.
Wow.
Didn't you see this coming? Weren't you supposed to know better? Don't, you know, how you are good. How about this one? Must have been your karma. And you know what? I believed all that on some level.
Yeah.
I was willing to say, you're right. But I have learned that maybe it's not so black and white and simple. Maybe the complexity of the human journey through lifetimes and lifetimes is a little bit more mysterious. And maybe part of why we come to be human is to learn through our emotions and to find love and compassion for ourselves and real self-love.
Real self-love.
Instead of the conditional, be spiritual, forgive everybody, walk on water, which I never did teach. I always thought, just follow your heart.
Yeah, you didn't, but and yet.
But I subscribed to a lot of that.
I did too.
That was my training.
Yeah,
that was my training.
All of training, wasn't it, Sonia?
Yeah, and there is still a lack of real love and compassion, acceptance, and gentleness. I feel spirituality is really needing now.
Yes, and it's interesting because, you know, when my sister passed away, I wrote an email to all my subscribers apologizing to them for my lack of compassion, and because I thought I had compassion until I experienced the worst thing that could ever happen in my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I was like, holy crap, I actually didn't hold people in the compassion they deserved because I didn't know what it was.
Right, me too.
And it cracked me open. It cracked me open.
You're right. That's what I called the Humpty Dumpty.
Right.
And I'm glad it couldn't be put back together again.
Me too. I have compassion now for, and you know, I think
for yourself too.
That's what I was just going to say. What you're saying is that I have compassion for myself now that I never did before.
Me either. I'm so happy to hear that. And I hope everyone listening could please move into that wondering. Can I please wonder that I might find a compassion for myself?
And walk with ourselves, as you say, in that compassion and ask, how are you?
And I just don't think we can find that through any ideology. I think we need to just be in our body, be in our feeling body, move back home, you know, come back to that place in our own bones.
Yeah.
And walk with the part of us that does suffer, have loss, is temporary, does feel, because that's the part of us that needs to take over now on the planet. The part that loves with genuine self-acceptance and compassion. Only then can we really, really witness one another in the holiness they deserve.
Oh my gosh, Sonia, this is so powerful, and we're running out of time. And you know, I want to get to some callers who I know are itching to talk to you. Star 2 will raise your hand if you'd like to work with Sonia. And before that, though, I want to so Star 2 will raise your hand. I'd like to talk about your offer, which is a continuation of this discussion. So, if you're as moved as I am in this moment, and you are ready to explore something a little bit different, explore a true walk into forgiveness, a journey into profound peace, an exploration into the true sense of joy and ease that this life can bring us, then Sonia has put together a powerful, powerful 5-week course into forgiveness. It took Sonia this story and a small fortune to develop this, and it's based on proven principles, but it's based on also the new content, the new insights, the removing the false bottom, to really change the course of your life and the course of this planet, I believe. When if enough of you took Sonia's course right now, I think that there could be a little catalyst change, a little tremor of shift that would, because I believe that each of you, as you heal all of us in the process. This is a very powerful and deep, insightful teaching. It's an online course. It's specially designed. There are specially designed prayers to guide you through the course. There's a forgiveness visual journey video. This is really quite an amazing journey, and it's at a really crazy price. And so if you're interested in going deeper with Sonia into the journey to forgiveness and really discovering a part of you, discovering the part of you that is true, allowing her to help you to create the space to be with yourself, to no longer deny the emotions or the experiences, and move into divine inner peace, then this is for you. If you go to specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia. Again, that's specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia, S-O-N-I-A, S-O-N-I-A. All lowercase, no www, all one word, specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia. And it's a real bargain. Thank you, Sonia, for putting this together. I really appreciate it.
Well, I felt really compelled after coming back and really having had such a profound and enormous shift of perception and capacity to understand human suffering. Not just mine, but how much we humans suffer.
Yeah.
And this is a forgiveness course that honors that instead of let's just get over it.
Yeah, it's a pathway through it.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful program.
It was really created with a profound sense of wanting to bring this deeper opening heart to the world, and so it's something I'm very committed to and something I really am very profoundly excited to share.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, we met for the first time, and I just, I didn't almost recognize you in a way because you're so grounded and strong, physically and emotionally.
That is true. I have shifted a lot, and like I said, with the new bottom, the new foundation.
Yeah.
That I am feeling good in my skin.
So if you folks would like to have a similar experience, I think this course can get you there if you go to specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia. And we're going to dive into some work here with Sonia. So if you have a question for her about any of this, if you'd like her intuitive hit on you, whatever you'd like, star 2, raise your hand. Star 2 will raise your hand. So, Sonia, would you pick a number, please, from 1 to 63?
How about 41?
41 it is. Okay, we're going to Santa Barbara, California. Last four digits are 1567. 1567, you're on the air.
Oh, my goodness, Sonia and Jennifer, this is so moving to me. I can't even tell you. My name's Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Oh, my gosh. And what about, you know, it seems so cliche to say, what about me, you know, that whole Field of Dreams thing of, but this, in this sense, when we've been so badly hurt and we always rose above it, it's so essential to re-own those areas of ourselves and no longer be in that denial. I'm just so moved. I can't believe I got on this call and that I'm talking to you right now. I'm so teary.
Hey, I love that. Your heart is open. I love you.
I love you. And I don't really know. I think I've had so many experiences where this dear friend of mine who's a body worker said it's almost harder when you don't know when the shoe's going to fall, when sometimes people are kind and sometimes they're not.
You're right.
So you're not sure what's going to happen ever.
That's so chaos-inducing.
It is. So I just feel so gentled or something like, oh, yeah, I get this through the core of my bones. But it's something that we don't talk about very much when we're in spiritual communities. And as you said, the compassion is missing because it's, oh, stiff upper lip. You're supposed to be able to handle this.
I agree with you. And I feel that there is these hangovers that we all are swimming through. That that any vulnerability or any challenge or any human emotion when we're dealing with the chaos of life is our failure instead of our wisdom. Say, this is chaos inducing, and I don't feel good. This is not, I'm afraid because I don't know what I'm walking on. I don't know if it's eggshells or time bombs or a field of flowers. So that in itself is damaging to the soul.
Yeah.
And that you still walk through it requires a great deal of appreciation for yourself.
Right. I really, and it's come up a lot recently, so I can't even believe this timing. And I just, sometimes when there have been experiences, it's just the words that come out of the other people, you can't say anything, it will kill the other person if they have to deal with it. And I know that, but at the same time, what you're saying is we have to take those walks by ourselves.
Yes.
And when we've been so quiet and patient, we've never done that. And your whole thing in REI is so typical of a lot of us. Oh, please don't take that time.
Well, you know, I do know and have such gorgeous, gorgeous and deep respect and appreciation for the heroic in us.
Yeah.
To want to be the givers, to want to be the ones to lift up and help encourage, which really comes from the word heart in French. The cœur is the heart. And yet it's important that we now pause and take that walk and that time with ourselves.
It's so true, and it's so accessible. It's just the light bulb going on of doing it.
Yay. Oh, my
God. Yay,
love.
Katie.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you for bringing up that too, as our teacher. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Katie.
Oh, I thank you. I wish I had a real question for you.
Oh, no, that was brilliant. That was
this
brilliant.
So filled with gratitude and love.
Thank you
so much, Katie. And Katie, would you pick a number, please, from 1 to 67?
55.
Thank you so much. That was really beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we're going to caller number 55. And that it looks like it might be Clearwater, Florida. Last four digits are 2664. 2664, and you're on the air.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it. Sonia, it's so good to talk to you.
It's my pleasure. What is your name?
My name is Dawn.
Nice to meet you.
It's so nice to meet you. Oh my gosh, I've read all of your books and I just feel like a gushing fan right now. My question would be, in your talk of forgiveness, I have been with this person for several years. And do I keep doing this?
What are you doing?
You know, Don, I can appreciate loyalty.
Hello.
I can appreciate wanting to stay connected to someone because of your investment and your idealism. I had it. Wanting to hold the space and the light so that highest level of possibility can happen, but we don't want to have a blind spot that takes us back to, is this feeding me? Is my fear keeping me here because I don't really know that the kind of love I want is even possible or trust that? So I can't answer if you stay, but I can say, please know. Having been on the other side now, because my marriage is over and I am not trying to hold my own ideals together any longer, please know that stepping into self-love and facing whatever fears would prevent that will be so deeply rewarded.
And I can see that. Thank you.
And it is a courageous act.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Sonia, for everything that you do for us.
Oh, my love. And it's my privilege.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dawn, so very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer.
And, Dawn, would you pick a number from 1 to 65?
16.
Thank you so much, sweetie. Much love to you.
Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to caller number 16. And this is really beautiful, Sonia. I can tell that we've really hit a nail here. We've really mm-hmm. struck a chord. Lena, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie.
How
Hi,
are
Lena.
You? Hi, Sonia. I'm so excited. I actually had a reading with you exactly 2 months ago, I think.
Yay. Well, Lena, how is your spirit today?
It's a lot better than 2 months ago.
Yay.
It's wonderful to be talking to you. So excited that I get to be on the call. And I think one of my questions, we discussed my relationship, and I think one of my questions right now, situation is still the same, and we talk about holding the space, but it's just like how to kind of like differentiate your thoughts between intuition and when your mind, because I feel like my mind is still very present, mm-hmm. and I'm having a hard time making that difference between what are those two.
Well, first of all, the feeling is different. The frequency feels different. The frequency of the mind. So do you want to just experience that really quickly, and then we can walk through a little practice that maybe the other listeners can learn from as well, because I'm sure this is a question that a lot of people work with.
Sure.
So when it comes to your relationship, it's such a simple tool, but just answer this question for me. My head says.
My head says, run out.
My head says,
it's not worth it.
And my head says,
I'm not sure what else. I think that's about it.
Okay. And just for a moment, Lena, describe the feeling of that energy.
A little jumpy.
Okay, good.
Like, maybe hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, yeah.
Does it feel, describe the weight of it, if you could. If you could give a word to it.
Kind of like moving around a little heavy.
Okay, good. So that's just for you to take note of. That's what your head feels like. Okay?
Okay.
So just take a breath. And just with this breath, I want you to exhale all the tension you feel around this relationship just for this breath. And blow out like you're blowing out a whole bunch of birthday candles. And release it to your lungs or just empty. Breathe in again. And this time, open up your heart space and let out the sound, ah. If you see the energy expanding from the heart space, front and back, up above and below, sort of like it's rippling open. And then coming back from that place of your intuition, which, by the way, means your inner guide, your inner teacher. My intuition says, fill in the blank.
Do not overstress.
And my intuition says,
keep it some time.
And one more time, my intuition says,
let it work itself out.
And describe how that feels to you. Describe the energy.
there's this feeling on my chest that I guess is what I was describing as kind of like hesitant and jumpy and heavy,
mm-hmm.
that I do not feel anymore.
There you go. That's how you tell the difference. The feeling is very different, and you can use this technique every time. Intuition is calm.
Wonderful. Thank you, Sonia, again.
You're
it's always great.
And I will send you so much love. And I'm sending you so much appreciation because your life is challenging and you're in a challenging situation. So have compassion for yourself.
Thank you. And I've been trying to do a lot of taking care of myself as you suggested. And
okay.
as I said, I'm feeling a lot better than when I talked to you earlier. And I probably will be talking to you again soon, I hope.
Okay. All my love.
Thank you, Sonia.
Thank you, Lena, so very much.
Thank you. Jennifer.
That was a great exercise. I can tell a lot of people did that along with Lena. And so that's a lovely exercise because it's really accessing a lot of the stuff you talked about
right.
on the show tonight. That's
and to give us, you know, just really begin to be present to the different parts of us and to the different energies and just recognize our signatures.
Hmm. Yeah. That's
mm-hmm.
really great stuff. We are coming to a close of our call, and I am so incredibly grateful for this call, Sonia, and I'm so grateful for you having the courage to discover the false bottom, talk about it, and helping all of us to now find a new foundation to stand upon. Thank you for going to a deeper part of this journey with and for us.
It's been such truly humbling and healing experience.
Yeah, for me too, as I listen. Thank you so much, Sonia. And again, if you folks want to go deeper, there was a question. Yes, it's an online series for you. It's a 5-week journey that Sonia has already created, and it's waiting for you. So if you want to go deeper into this journey that Sonia has been sharing with us today, go to specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia. specials.healingwiththemasters.com/Sonia. Thank you, Sonia. I'm so glad you said yes and that we got to play a little bit more again. This has been just fantastic. Thank you.
It has been my pleasure, and I just need to say this. I adore you
and
what you bring to this planet. It's so, so, so generous of spirit of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Sonia. That means a lot to me. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And love to everyone listening.
Thank you, and thanks, everyone, for being part of this amazing community. There's no question that you brought forward the amazing content that Sonia has shared. There's no question that we're co-creating all of this together. And I just am so honored and blessed and privileged that you all just share your time and space with us here in this beautiful community. I love you. I adore you. We have a powerful show coming up again on Thursday with Jill Renee Feeler, and another very, very healing and sweet show, I can tell. If you'd like to play with Sonia more, go to specials.healingwiththemasters.com. And I'm going to open up the lines to say goodnight. So if you don't like that kind of thing, go ahead and either hang up or turn off the volume. And here we go. Good night, everyone. Thanks so much.
Good night.
I love you.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted.